Hey everyone, welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are blown away by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time, and it is our joy and privilege to provide these messages to you every week. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you have been one of the individuals who have been impacted, we want to ask you to become an investor in what God is doing here at ACC. You can participate in our church by going to auburncommunitychurch.com and clicking Give for all of our giving options. Thank you for partnering with us to continue to build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Thank you, Matt Cole. We're going to jump into week two of our series called Missing the Point. And if you missed last week, we're taking a few weeks just to remember why we do what we do at this church and also remember why you exist as a human being. And so I'll admit that this series is assuming that there is a point and a purpose to life. And if you're here and you're just checking out the whole church thing and you're going, I'm not really into this whole God thing. I'm not really religious. First of all, good news. We're not really religious either. We're really relational and we believe that God is relational. But if you're here and you're going, I don't buy into all of this. I just believe that the world happened randomly and there's no purpose. There's no meaning. There's no really anything to it. Well, first of all, I would really caution you to think about where that line of logic will lead you in some of your conclusions about humanity. But I would also just throw on top of that maybe a little bit of a compliment to you, because if you're here and you believe that there is no purpose and no point to this life, you have a lot more faith than the Christians in the room. You have a ton of faith to go, this is all just happenstance, this is random, and we'll see what the meaning is later. And we actually believe that there is a point and a purpose to life. And the reason why we believe that we can find the point and the purpose in Jesus is because he's the only one to ever be dead on a Friday and alive on a Sunday. And he's the only one with the words to resurrection life. And we don't simply believe that because the Bible tells me so. We believe that by eyewitness testimony in historical documents that ultimately leads to the Word of God telling us that there really was a man named Jesus who claimed to be the Son of God. And 2,000 years ago, his death on a cross did not end his life. And his resurrection power lives in us for, watch this, this isn't random, all of this for a purpose. And we're going to find out why today in Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. This is what this whole series is rooted in. Acts was written by Luke, same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Basically, two different volumes of the same story. The Gospel of Luke tells the story of Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection. And then the story of Acts is really what happens post-resurrection when the church spreads throughout the modern world. And I cannot stress to you the importance of Acts chapter 1 enough, because this is the beginning of the church. If ever there is a place that we need to look to know the point of why we do what we do in this place every week and why your life even exists, it is found within the pages where Jesus has risen from the grave and made a statement about what your mission is and what my mission is. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says this about Jesus. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. These are some of the most important verses in the entire Bible. First of all, I want you to see that Resurrection Sunday continued on Monday. Jesus wasn't only around in his resurrection body for one day. He was around for 40 days, appearing to many people over many different situations, including eating a meal. Now, this might be the best news I have for some of you for the entire sermon. Did you know that in a resurrected body, you can eat? I'll tell you why that's good news for you and for me. You want to know what that means? That means, you know how when you're about to go somewhere and you're kind of making a decision about whether or not you want to go there and you're like, they got food there? What kind of food they got there? That's how I make 90% of my social decisions. And I'm like, what? Where are we going? No. Where are we going? Is there free food? Well, I wasn't going to go, but now I am. There's going to be food in heaven, y'all. There's going to be food. There's going to be, that should be getting a better response than it's getting. This is good news. I guess none of you grew up like I grew up hearing what I heard about heaven, okay? I grew up hearing, first of all, assuming that heaven is me and angels sitting on clouds playing harps, and I've never played a harp, never really seen anybody else play, so I don't think I'm going to be very good, especially if that's what I'm going to be doing forever. And then my mom corrected me, though, when I was really young and my parents didn't know any better. My mom was like, you know, think of heaven as like one long, everlasting church service. I was like, oh, no. It's like, so what's hell like? Because, I mean, I just want to know, I just want to weigh my options here. That's not a really good option. Listen, y'all, listen, seriously. Some of you have never been told this. Heaven is a real place with real people, with real lives. Like, we're going to have real bodies, real jobs, real relationships. We're going to live. Humans were created to live. And we're going to do it free from sin, free from death, free from shame, in perfect relationship with God and each other. And there's going to be food. It's good news. If I cannot get you guys excited about anything with that, this sermon's gonna be a struggle. And I gotta be honest, 11:30, y'all have kind of become the crowd that's like, we got to sleep in, but we're kind of like still recovering from sleeping. I need more out of y'all. The 5 and the 9:30 have been like, you know, giving me more energy. And 11:30, you guys are kind of, it's difficult. There's gonna be food in heaven, okay? We need to be excited. Thank you. There's gonna be food. But then watch this. Jesus says, he says, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the gift my Father has promised. And that's kind of where we stopped last week, and I did an entire message on the promises of God. Jesus discovered the purposes of God by holding on to the promises of his heavenly Father. So if you didn't get the opportunity to hear that message last week, highly encourage you to do that, because the road through the uncertainty of your purposes now comes through holding on to the promises of God now. You want the purpose from God. You want to know, what's my job and what's it going to look like? What's my future going to look like? How do I know that my kids are going to be okay? How do I maneuver this? God is not going to show you the plan. He's not going to show you the road. He's going to show you his promises and say, hey, hold these and I'll show you as we go. So Jesus is holding on to the promise of his Father. And then he says, wait for the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but I'm baptizing with the Holy Spirit. That confuses a lot of people. All that means is there was a guy named John the Baptist who came to prepare the way for Jesus. And his message was, repent, turn from your sin, because the kingdom of God is near. And he baptized with water. He dunked people, same way we do, as a recognition of his message. But Jesus is basically saying, my message stands on top of John's, because John's message was the kingdom of God is near, and my message is the kingdom of God is here. And the Holy Spirit is available. Same Spirit that raised me from the grave is going to come and live in you for you to go and experience the true point of this life. What is that point? We're going to read about that in verses 6-8. Watch this. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? If you write in your Bible, write the words missing the point right by that verse. The disciples continually thought that Jesus was a government military leader for Israel who was going to restore their kingdom out of oppression and slavery from the Romans. That's what they thought. And then when he died, they thought, oh no, it's not going to work. And then when he came back, they were like, okay, yeah, now you're gonna live out the plan, because we had this plan and we thought it was ruined, but now we got it. They're missing the point. They're missing the purpose of all of this. It just goes to show you that sometimes when God does something different than the plan that you had for your life, it's not because he's trying to frustrate your plans. It's because he's trying to deliver you into something better. They wanted deliverance from Rome. Jesus wanted to give them deliverance from sin, hell, and death, and invite them into the mission. The reason why they were created to say, this isn't going to be about a battle that I'm going to fight for you. This is about you joining in on the battle with me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are frustrated at God because he's doing things differently than you wanted it to be done. And I would just question you to say, It's not because he's trying to frustrate your plans. It's because he's trying to do something better and write an even better story than you and I could ever come up with on our own. And then Jesus says this. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is not about a government rebellion. This is about a worldwide mission to let the whole world know what I have done. And the plan isn't for me to fight this battle for you. The plan is for you to be on mission to witness to anyone and everyone here in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria. He's progressively going further out on the map and saying, to the ends of the earth. To anyone and everyone, the mission for your life, the mission for my life, is that the resurrection power of Jesus would be told through the story of how we live. That's the point. That's the purpose. And immediately when you hear that, you go, that's a big job to hand to a couple fishermen and some women. But he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be the one who empowers you to go and do it. And that is why part two of our series, Missing the Point, is going to be called Power to the People. This message is called Power to the People. And that is not meant to allude to a song or some sort of movement from the past. It is really what Jesus says the point of all this is. To get the power of the Holy Spirit that connects you to God to drive you on mission to people who are far from God. So you don't want to miss the point. You don't want to miss the point of your life. Look up here. You don't want to miss the point of the church. Here it is in one word. The point is people. People are the point. The church exists for people. Near to God, far from God, never heard of God, walked with God their whole lives. People. And your life. You have breath in your lungs right now for people. And you might be sitting here going, wait, I thought you were going to say Jesus. Like the church exists for Jesus. My life exists for Jesus. You guys say that every week at church. If you've been coming here for a while, you know this. We're like, this isn't about a speaker. This isn't about a band. This is about Jesus. But here's the thing though. If you're all about Jesus, the only way for that to be more than lip service to Jesus is if you're all about people. Because Jesus is all about people. So you can't just say, we're here to lift up the name of Jesus if you don't lift up the purpose of Jesus, which is that people would come to know who the God of the universe is, that he's a loving heavenly Father and forgiveness and grace is available in Jesus. That's the meaning of your life. That's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of your life. That is the reason why we are here. You know what? Jesus is all about people, but so is the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, and that's where all of us typically get thrown off. Like, oh gosh, yeah, I get the whole Father and Son thing, but the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity just kind of weirds me out. Like, I don't really know what to do with the Holy Spirit. I feel like that just brings up stranger things, and a bunch of things going on with the Holy Spirit. No. Jesus is for people. So is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given as the power by which the disciples would achieve the mission that Jesus gave them in the first place. That's why in Acts chapter 2, the very next chapter in your Bible, I'm not going to read it, but you should check it out this week. That's when the Holy Spirit first shows up on planet Earth to fill and dwell in humanity. Now, the Holy Spirit was there all along from the very beginning in the Old Testament, but now the Holy Spirit can live in human beings because of what Jesus has done on the cross. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you want to know what happens? Everybody who receives the Holy Spirit starts speaking in other languages. They start speaking in tongues. Everybody's like, oh, this is about to get interesting. Just seeing your faces, you're like, I really want to know what he's going to say next, because that's why I left my last church. And I don't know what this is going to turn into. Listen though. Don't get weirded out by that. In Acts chapter 2, when everyone's speaking different languages and the Holy Spirit shows up, you want to know what happens? They're in Jerusalem, and people outside of where they're speaking in tongues are all, the Bible says, that they are hearing the wonders of God in their own language. And they come, grab the people of God, and go, how do you know how to speak my language? Because I've never heard what it is that you're saying before, but now I'm hearing it in my own language, and I am coming to understand that this Jesus you speak about is not just for you, but for me as well. The Spirit exists for the mission of God, not simply for the emotions of people. And that's what we turn the Holy Spirit into, y'all. We turn the Holy Spirit into this magic feeling that you get during worship services or sermons. Like, man, we felt the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that people were, A, singing loudly, B, many of them raising their hands, C, it felt really intense and super emotional, somebody cried. That's what we do. And the Spirit moved because of that. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't use emotion, but I'm saying too many of us get too caught up in the emotional side of the Holy Spirit, and we miss that he's not an emotional magic formula. He's a missional person who lives in you. And his purposes are to give you the power you need to live on mission in the world. So if the whole speaking in tongues thing weirds you out, first of all, we believe that tongues are a gift of the Holy Spirit affirmed by the New Testament of the Bible. We also believe 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which says that it is the least of all the gifts of the Spirit, and it should not be expressed when the church comes together because it is more confusing than people speaking the language of everyone around them. So if you're here and you grew up in kind of a more charismatic background and you're like, yeah, why don't people shout and speak in tongues here? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That would be the clearest answer. But my other answer on top of that is that we actually believe that it is more beneficial to more people in our church if everyone understands what everyone is saying. And that's straight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you're here and you're like, well, I do that. I participate in that. The church that I was a part of, like, they affirm that. That is great. Like, we're not trying to create a dividing wall. We're church without walls. You're so welcome to be here. But I think it's important, especially for the younger people in the room, because there's some movements going around in Christianity in our day that are not really clear on what the Holy Spirit's purpose is. And I think our younger generation is a lot more passionate about worship gatherings than they are about the mission of Jesus in their life every day. And the Holy Spirit exists to propel us on mission, not just gather and sing songs. Everybody okay? Everybody good? Everybody excited that they came to church? By the way, if you have like any other questions about the Holy Spirit or about theology or anything like that, Matt Cole is going to be available right after the service. He can answer any and every one that you have. He's so excited to answer that for you. Seriously though, if you have more questions, ask Matt. Acts chapter 1, I was not even going to change it. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. This is what happens next. You got to see this. You got to see this. You got to see this. After Jesus said this, this is crazy. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. 40 days after he rises from the dead, Jesus goes back into heaven, says, you're the plan now. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the power to accomplish the mission I've called you to. And he goes back into heaven. And I can't blame the disciples for just standing there wide-eyed looking into the sky. But I love that picture of them not even being aware that there are angels beside them. And angels kind of creep up on them and are like, hey, guys, I don't know why you're just staring. He's going to come back one day, but one day is probably not today. And you've got a mission and you've got work that needs to be done. So why don't you stop looking here and start looking here? And I think that that is the message of today, that the power that comes to you and to me to live a mission for the glory of God happens within the context of the mission of God. I think too many Christians are staring at the sky looking for answers from God when the answers are going to be found when you and I finally start living on the urgent mission we were created for. And when you start stepping toward people, you're also stepping toward the power of God in a way that you probably weren't aware of it. Here's what I'm saying. I know that so many people come into this room on Sundays hoping and praying that the message lines up with whatever problem they're going through. I know that you do this. So you're like, We're going through some kind of relational issues. I kind of need some advice about forgiveness. I got this going on in my family right now. I just need hope that one day, you know, God's going to free my brother, my sister, my parents from this burden. Or I've got a burden. Some of y'all come in here struggling with addiction and you're like, I want freedom from that. Some of you come in here with uncertainty about the future. You're like, I need like a good message about, you know, God who's going to be my security and whatever. Everybody's all over the map with their problems when they come in here. But here's the thing. I've found that the power most of us need for our individual problems is actually found in the same place, which is discovering that the power of God goes to where the mission of God is most urgent. So where the power of God is needed, it goes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the best way to fight the darkness on the inside of you is to fight the darkness on the outside of you in the world. And when you live on mission for the glory of God in real relationships with real people, the power of God comes and shines. You don't need a light unless it's shining. It comes and shines in your life from the inside out. So you might be struggling with anxiety and come to discover you're only anxious because you only think about yourself. All you ever think about when you wake up, all you ever think about when you go to bed is how you're perceived, where you're going, what your story is. And the mission of Jesus goes, it's not about you, bro. It's about people. It's not about you. It's about them. But here's the freedom that happens. When you stop living for you and start living for them and serving them, you'll notice that your issues take care of themselves. You don't even have enough time to worry about what you were worried about before because now you're serving someone else and carrying their burdens that at the exact time, watch this, the Holy Spirit comes and carries your burdens on the inside because the Holy Spirit power exists to propel you on mission toward people. Does that make sense? Here's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit moves in power to the people of God when we move on purpose to people far from God. The Holy Spirit moves in power. You want the Holy Spirit to come and move in power through your life. That's great. But why does the Holy Spirit do what he does? To propel the people of God on purpose to people far from God. And so what's missing in your life is the mission for your life. You're going, no, I just need some kind of like therapy. I just need some kind of like just advice. I just need something to come and fix my issue. God has rooted Christianity in a relationship with him to work like this. The more you live for the mission of Jesus, the more you experience the presence of Jesus. They go hand in hand. There's a moment in the Bible where Stephen, the first martyr post-Jesus that we have in the Bible, he has this amazing encounter with God that you and I would love to have. He looks into heaven and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Which is just straight up strange, y'all. Jesus doesn't stand at the right hand of God. He sits. This is the only time he's standing. You read this in Acts and you're like, man, I'd love to see Jesus. Yeah, but he's seeing Jesus while he is about to be killed for testifying about the gospel. So we want these great visions of God. We want these great experiences of closeness with God. But do we realize that the closeness happens within the context of mission? You want God to feel like he's closer than your skin. Why don't you look into someone's eyes and give them the hope that lives inside of you by the power of Jesus? And that's the moment where you're going to feel closest to God. We have rigged this thing to be so about our gatherings that we've missed the purpose of the gathering. We're missing the point. The Holy Spirit doesn't just move because we sing songs and I yell. The Holy Spirit moves when we move from this place toward people. That's how it happens. And this is a tough message for me to preach because it is so convicting for me. I need to tell y'all that this is so easy for me to talk about Jesus on this stage. So easy, so in my comfort zone. My heart rate doesn't even get up when I get in front of you. I know you're like, how does that happen? It's normal to me. This is normal. But I start getting real nervous when we walk out these doors and go into everyday life with real people in real time. I freeze up the same way some of you do. And I've come to discover that when I'm living for my true purpose, there's a freedom that comes from the inside by the power of God. And I've only discovered how much I've forgotten that recently. It was a few months ago when we were walking out of a service at 5:00 and I'm always like so tired by that time. And I'm like, I just, you know, want to get home and be with the wife, be with our daughter and go to sleep. Y'all, I get so tired. And like Monday is like, wow, I just slept 12 straight hours. Thank God I have an angel baby who just sleeps all the time. She's amazing. And so I'm exhausted. And then I didn't realize how much I'd been sleepwalking through my life spiritually until this Chinese student came up to me and in broken English, English is his second language, basically communicates to me that he wants to get baptized. And of course, this catches my attention because I'm like, you want to get baptized? Do you know English? Like, do you even speak the same language I speak? And so I realized, yeah, I probably need to meet with this guy. And so I start meeting with him. Some of you know him. Some of you are the reason why he even came to church in the first place. His name is Jerry. And well, that's his English name. His Chinese name is Wei Jiho. And I only know that because I used to speak Chinese. I didn't, but I don't remember any of it. Actually, one time I was meeting with Jerry and I asked the Holy Spirit to give me the ability to speak Mandarin Chinese and it didn't work. But so I just kept talking to him in English. He knows enough English though. But I started meeting with Jerry and he tells me his story of how he ended up, not just at ACC, but how he ended up in Auburn at all. So grew up in China, super intelligent, super smart. They all are. And that's just one stereotype that is true. I'm sorry. And so he had this lifelong dream of studying abroad in Canada. And I was like, why Canada? He's like, I don't know. I just want to go to Canada. I'm like, don't we all? And that's weird. But he was like, but then my dad lost all of the funding, lost all of our money, and it created kind of this friction that was already present between me and my parents. It basically blew up the family because Jerry was really irreligious and they were Taoist, and so they had this like really big tension that none of us really know the how we would have maneuvered that. But he was so angry with his dad. So his dad came to him and said, hey, so you can't go to Canada, but I did find a way to get you in this program that goes to the United States. So you can study abroad in the United States. And so he's like, where do you want to go in the USA? And Jerry goes, he said, my favorite movie growing up was Forrest Gump. I kid you not. And he said, so I told him I want to go to Alabama. It seems like a great place. And fortunately for us, the only school that was on the list for the program that he was going to be a part of was Auburn. And so I cannot make this up, y'all. This is so serious. And so he comes from China to Auburn, so angry at anything religious, like eager to prove God wrong, and then gets his entire world rocked the moment someone from Auburn Community Church comes into his life and invites him to this church. And through the power of this faith family and this community, Jerry crossed over from death to life and is getting baptized in a couple of months. And it was one of the coolest things just to get to hear his story. But then I noticed that there was a lot of work for me to do in my conversations with him because he's got a lot of misconceptions. He's like, I said, ask me anything about Christianity. He goes, am I Catholic? I go, this is going to take a while. So let me just explain how this happened. This happened. He asked me the best questions. He said, I got to tell you this. He said, hey, I got a lot of confusion about who the Holy Spirit is. And I said, yeah, we all do. And he said, no, because the only thing I've heard about the Holy Spirit is a pickup line. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, somebody from ACC told me that when you see a Christian girl you like, you should go up to her and say, you're hot. That must be the Holy Spirit burning from the inside of you. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is what our people from our church are teaching a brand new Chinese Christian. Oh my gosh, he doesn't know. He's thinking it really happens. And he's asking me all these questions. I can't make this stuff up. But then he asked me questions that traveled deeply into my soul. Questions like, Miles, I hear this word that you guys say at ACC all the time. I want to know what it means. What is grace? What is grace? You talk about this grace. What is grace? And I notice that week after week, as I'm meeting with this guy, something is happening in that window of time I'm meeting with him where I'm experiencing a power that I don't experience at any other time during the week. I'm experiencing a peace where you guys know I struggle a lot with worry, and especially about, you know, where we're going to go as a church. And so many questions about that and anxious thoughts, like many of you, temptations all the time. But I noticed that the 1 hour of my week where I was completely free from the darkness that lived on the inside of me, was the hour I was spending with Jerry. And I noticed that the two go hand in hand, that when the light of the presence of God starts shining from the inside of you, it shines to every part of you. And so much of what I was missing was because I was missing out on the mission. God was going, hey, there's not like a verse that you're waiting to discover that you haven't discovered. There's not a sermon that you haven't heard, Miles, that you need to hear. There's people that you haven't reached. And when you reach people, God moves in your life in power. And I'm going, man, I've been following Jesus for so long. I think the longer you follow Jesus, the more you're tempted to forget about what the mission is truly all about, which is living on mission for people far from God. And what will happen is as you do that, the presence of God will flow through your life in a way you weren't expecting. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three things that you can do this week, because I think there's a lot of confusion in this area. We talk about living on mission. Some people in here are like, okay, I get it. I'll invite more people to church. Or okay, like I'll post something. I'll do that. I want to give you practically, how do I allow the Holy Spirit power to move through my life and set me on mission to reach other people? I got three things. They're going to be real quick. We're going to get through this. Number one is this. You got to pay attention. Pay attention. I think most of the time we don't discover the true power of the Holy Spirit because we don't recognize the moments where the Holy Spirit had the potential to move through us. We're not even paying attention. And I'm talking about just like average moments in your day where if you will recognize the mission for which you exist, you will step into a moment and seize a moment in a way that you wouldn't otherwise seize it. Because here's the thing, look up here, don't miss this. Everybody in here struggles with this. We wake up in the morning and we have our list of things that we're going to do that day. I'm going to do this at my job. I'm going to do this in school. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to chase after this thing. And then this is going to lead to this. And we view the mission of God as supplemental in our lives. We go, well, if along the way somewhere God gives me the opportunity, hopefully I'll be faithful in that moment. Instead of saying, the first priority that I wake up in the morning with an awareness of, the first thing that I know about is that Jesus has filled my life by the power of the Holy Spirit to reach anyone and everyone I come into contact with today. And so we're not paying attention. We're waking up, we're living throughout our day with all these moments where the Holy Spirit could have given us a word, could have given us a relationship, could have given us a spot to step into, but we weren't watching for it because we weren't thinking of that as the purpose of our lives. And so I've got to give like a little wake-up call, ACC. I've got to say something. When you want someone to pay attention to you, you usually do something to wake them up. Like you're like, oh my gosh, like wake up. See this. I need to tell you that if you're here at church and in the past 6 months or in the past year, you have not seen God use your faith to influence someone around you, you are missing the point of your life. You're missing the point. Like over a certain period of time, if God hasn't moved through your life to another person at all, I do not care how much money you have made, what degree you're chasing, or what you accomplish, because the only thing that will matter in eternity is our moments of personal intimacy with God and the people we reach who are far from God. That's it. And so I want to challenge you. You're like, I'm not paying attention. No, you need to wake up and recognize that this is your purpose. A lot of y'all have finals this week. This is going to set you free. 10 years from now, none of you will remember what grade you got this week. You want to know what you could do this week that will be remembered 10 million years from now? Live on mission for the name of Jesus. Like, what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm on the front row of conviction for this. Like, why do we think that the purpose and the mission for our lives is whatever job that we're in, whatever season of life that we're in, whatever we got going that day? Listen, the purpose is the same. People. And it happens when you're wide awake to it, when you notice it. Do you want to know why Jerry got invited to ACC? Because somebody, a 19-year-old dude, was paying attention at lunch in the student center. Here's the story. He's sitting at lunch
with a friend, like so many of you in here do, and he gets that prompting from the Holy Spirit. If you've been following Jesus for a while, you know the one I'm talking about. It's the one that you hate. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to say something, but I don't want to. And he's like, oh, and he feels prompted to talk to the Chinese students who are next to him because he figures they probably have no friends that are Americans. And I need to say something, but I don't want to say something. And so he just said, you know what, Holy Spirit, if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to go for it. And so he looks at these guys. And he goes, hey, do you want to know about Jesus? Jesus, do you ever heard of him? Jesus? And they're like, yeah, we want to know about him. And so they start this relationship. I kid you not. These two Chinese guys invite the student from ACC to a Chinese New Year party, which from what I hear, they are lit. And so he's at this Chinese New Year party and he's like the only American there. And he's so lost and everybody's speaking Chinese. He doesn't really know what to do. They're eating dumplings and he's like, I've never had these. And he said, while he was getting his dumplings, that's the way they tell it, Jerry walks up at this party and a guy from our church says, you're coming to church with me this Sunday. You need to check this out. And then Jerry comes to know Jesus here. So that whole story doesn't happen if someone's not paying attention sitting at lunch. It happens in real time, in real situations. You don't have to force this. You live your life awake. You go, I exist. I gotta stop thinking. I gotta stop thinking of people as what I need from them. Anybody else do this? I do this all the time. I see everybody in my life as a support system for what I got going on that day. I was so convicted by this. I took my Jeep to get some work done on it this week. And I just noticed that the way I interact with people is just get what I need to get from them as fast as I can to get back to what I'm doing. And I knew I was writing this sermon. And God was like, open your eyes. Talk to the mechanic working on your car. I started talking to this guy. Unbelievable relational connection. I didn't invite him to ACC. He's not ready for that yet. I didn't bring up what I do, didn't bring up Jesus. I just like listened and was there. Now the work's not complete, but here's how God moves relationally. Next time my car or my wife's car needs to get work done on it, guess where I'm going? That place and ask him for that guy. And I'm gonna pray for him between now and then. You know what God's gonna do over time? God's gonna provide a relational bridge in real time, in a real situation, where the Holy Spirit could come and move in me. But you only see it if you're paying attention. Pay attention. That's step one. And number two is so powerful if you let it. Number two is this, pray submission. Pray submission. So you gotta pay attention, but you gotta pray submission. And when I put that on the screen, I think some of you assume you know what I mean, and I don't. Christians have this tendency of trying to model their prayer after Jesus's prayer, and they end up completely messing up the process that God had for us. We pray things like, God, here's what I want you to do, but not my will, but yours be done. You think that's how Jesus wants me to pray because that's how he prayed the night before? Mm-mm. First of all, Jesus was always dead centered on the mission of his Father. And he was honest with what he would want in the process, but at the same time, completely surrendered and submitted to the fact that he was here for people, to reach people far from God. And so your prayer life is not supposed to be a grocery list of things you want from God. And then at the very end, you say, not my will, but yours be done. I want all that, but not my will. You want to know why we say not my will, but yours be done, by the way? We say that so we can give God a way out from proving to not be real to us. We go, not God, not my will, but yours be done. And that'll give me an excuse in case you don't do what I just asked you to do, but then I can still believe in you because that'd be real uncomfortable if it proved that you weren't real. Hey, guess what? God doesn't need a way out in your prayer life. If he's going to do something, he's going to do it. If he's not, he's not. He doesn't need you to say, not my will, but yours be done. What he needs you to do is conform the mission of your life in submission to his mission for the world. And when you start praying in submission to what God's already doing in the world, you start praying prayers that are so much more powerful than what you were saying before. And here's how it works. This is 1 John. This is 1 John chapter 5. It says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. I'm about to jump up and down because I want to make this so clear. Okay. So this is what we were just talking about, asking things according to the will of God. But that is not saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. That is literally thinking through your prayer life and asking the question, what does it mean for me to pray underneath the mission that God has for the world? And when you do that, you have a guaranteed yes from God. Did you know that? Some of you are like, if I could just know that my prayers are heard and answered. You have a guaranteed answer to your prayers if you will conform your prayers to the mission of God in the world. Here's an example. My temptation to pray, God, I am so tired. I just want to rest. Would you just give me comfort? Would you give us provision? Would you, these are fair prayers, but just watch. God, would you just help me? Would you just help me? Or, hey God, when you make my life uncomfortable, and when you put me in moments and situations where life is not what I want it to be, glorify your name through how the people around me watch me and what I say in the process. You pray that prayer, God goes, done. I'll give you the power to do that. Absolutely. Part of the reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't move in most of our lives is because he's not really needed. And when you conform your prayer to go, this isn't about my mission and my stuff and everything I got going on. You're moving in the world, and your purpose in the world is people. And so I'm not just going to pray for what I want. I'm going to pray my life into what you want so that your power comes and moves in me. Acts, if you keep reading in Acts, Peter and John, they get arrested in a couple chapters right after the Holy Spirit comes. They get questioned, they get beaten, and then they get released. And then it says that they go back to the believers and they all pray together. And then it tells us what they prayed. Remember, they were arrested and beaten, and they pray for more boldness as they testify to the gospel. This is interesting, because if you and I got arrested and then sent back to our church, we would be praying, God, don't let that happen again. God, I would really prefer it if you started giving us the opportunity to not suffer as much as we're suffering. But they pray, God, next time we're in that situation, give us even more boldness than we had that time. And then it says that the building they were in shook. It shook. Why? Because the Spirit of God is confirming, I like that prayer. I like it when people conform their prayer life to the mission of the Holy Spirit. You want your prayers to move the heart of God? Start praying your life into God's mission for the world. I've started asking this question for our church. Our church has grown a lot in 2.5 years. And so I'm asking the question, we can't just keep creating bigger gatherings for more people to hear the word of God preached on this stage. That is part of what we're gonna do, but we're gonna leverage what we're doing here for the world. So God, what does it mean for Auburn Community Church to be a part of ending slavery in the world? What does it mean for Auburn Community Church to be a part of ending poverty in the lives of children and expecting mothers across the world? You start praying things like that to God, and God's gonna go, that's where I'm moving in the world, and that's where I'll come and move in your life. But as long as you're caught up in my stuff, in my comfort, in me, no surprise, the Holy Spirit's not moving in power, because power moves to people who are moving to people. So many of us are like the disciples, God, where's your power? And God's like, hey, would you for 1 second stop looking up and start looking out? Because my presence isn't up here. It's in here when you move to others. So you pay attention. Open your eyes and see the opportunities God has already given you. You pray in submission, and you have a guaranteed yes to your prayer when you submit yourself to you pray aligned with the mission of God. You go, my prayers could go out here, but I'm going to line them up with what you're already doing in the world. And y'all, I'm not saying you can't be real with God. We always encourage you to do that. Be real, but don't make it about you. Make it about him. Align yourself. So we got to pay attention, pray submission, and then lastly, we got to proclaim resurrection. Proclaim resurrection. You will have to say something. Contrary to popular belief, the Christian life is not all about just doing good things so that people might notice that you're a follower of Jesus. The Christian life is about telling a story of a resurrected Savior. And that resurrected Savior has resurrected you as well. And here's the convicting truth. People who have risen from the grave talk about it. If you died and came back to life, you would have a lot to say to a lot of people. And that's the spiritual reality that most of us claim and the spirituality that so few of us are willing to talk about. We struggle with it. What do I say? I don't know how to defend the truth of Scripture, and I don't know all that there is to know about Christianity. You don't need to know that. All you need to know is your own story. Because your own story is the most powerful thing God has given you to testify. What's at the root of testify? Testimony. A testimony in court is when somebody goes, this is what I saw, this is what I experienced. That's what God's called you to do. This is what I've seen and this is what I've experienced. That's what Paul did. I would challenge y'all this summer, read through Acts. He tells the same story like 7 times. Everywhere he goes, he's like, yep, he's killing Christians. Was chasing them to Damascus, and then boom, Jesus appeared. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't believe this before. Now I do. And yeah, now I'm telling you my story, guys. He goes around telling the story of what God did to take him from death to life. And the most powerful thing you and I have to offer to the people around you and me is the resurrection that happened in you and me. If you're here and you're like, I've been following Jesus my whole life. I don't have like a death to life story. Yes, you do. I think the longer you follow Jesus, the more you learn about your old self. You realize you have this old nature that you can't let go of, that you can't fully get rid of, and you're like, I hate that person. Even though I've been following Jesus my whole life, I just feel pulled back to this other me. You've got a resurrection story. So do I. And that's the story we tell. And y'all, this is how real people get reached with real people. God doesn't want you to go into your workplace or go into your class or go into the lunchroom and give a 5-point essay out to everyone around you about the truth of Scripture. That doesn't work. Oh my gosh, God does not want you going around passing a laminated pamphlet about the 4 spiritual laws. He wants you to look into the eyes of real people and say, I've been there. I've been there. There's an old me. I've been lonely. I've been depressed. I'm with you. And people respond to what they can relate to. And when they realize that they can relate to you and that you're a broken, sinful person following after Jesus, they're attracted to that. That's what happens in Acts. They will know us by our love for one another and our love for God. And then you start bringing them around your community and your faith family, and all of a sudden they're going, this is different. If we start living this way in Auburn, Alabama, I don't think there's a venue big enough to hold what God could do in and through this church in this city. But we got to pay attention. We got to pray submitted. And we got to proclaim, I was dead and he made me alive. If you're here and you didn't know that, that's what Jesus was doing 2,000 years ago. He died so that the old you could die, and he rose from the grave so that there could be a new you. All you have to do is say yes to him and commit your life to follow him. You put your notes away. I'm going to pray now. And if that's you in the room, you want to step into that relationship with God, all you got to do is say yes to Jesus. If you've been following Jesus forever, but you haven't been living on mission, my prayer is that as we pray and as we sing, we would leave this place moving on mission for the glory of God. Would you stand up all over this room? Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this church. I pray in Jesus' name that none of us will be found to have fallen short of the mission and the vision you have for our lives. God, I know that there are stories in this room, stories that are just so ready to be told, but we've been timid. We've been lost in our own story. We've been doing our own thing, God. Would that end today? And will we be a people on mission with the power that comes from your Holy Spirit to go and reach people far from you? Let's be that church, God. And we know we can only be that church with your power inside of us. It's not us, Lord. It's you. So come and move. Open our eyes to pay attention. Open our voices to pray submitted. And open our hearts to be open and available when you want us to proclaim our story. We love you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. We sing to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. Our hope and prayer is that God uses this message to challenge you and push you into a closer and deeper relationship with Him. For more information about ACC, you can go to auburncommunitychurch.com.